mouth.
Word of 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 mouth. Word of mouth.
Mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Over the past decade, much of the technology we touch or use every day has altered dramatically. The smartphone, for example, has made toting CD cases, cameras, notepads unnecessary, and address books and agendas all but obsolete. But still, we haul keys around. We stow them with neighbors, hide them under rocks, throw them down to visitors from apartment windows, and frequently wonder where the heck we put them. Several companies are busting into the keyless electronic home access market. Stephen Kurtz reports for the home section of the New York Times. He wrote an article called Losing the Key that covered innovations in the digital house key market. Stephen, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So what is the sales pitch for the electronic home entry market?
I think the sales pitch here is convenience. You know, this idea that, you don't have to worry about losing your keys anymore or as you said, finding them. But the other thing is, you know, you come home with a bag of groceries and you have to reach into your pocket, and it's a pain. And then there's also the issue of house guests. You have to go to the hardware store and make duplicate keys. And it's not expensive, but it's not really a fun process for anybody. And so the idea is that, you know, everything becomes seamless. You send out an electronic key, to a guest or to,
a
dog walker or the plumber, that sort of thing. And, they can access your home and you don't have any of the hassle of dealing with keys.
And you do this through your phone, your tablet, computer, that kind of thing?
Yes, exactly. So you get an app. The lock is equipped in many cases, a few of them are more advanced than others. But in most cases, you get a password. So you get the app, you download the app, and then that password becomes a kind of digital key. And you're giving that password out to the plumber or to your kids or whoever else needs access, and then you can also revoke that password. So the plumber doesn't have access to your house beyond when the time frame that you set.
So there are some recognizable names, Slage, Kwikset, setting up these digital keys. A few other companies also getting into the game. Tell us a little bit about Kisi, K-I-S-I, I don't know, Kisi?
Kisi. Kisi. So that's an interesting one. That's they're coming from a tech perspective. So it's a couple guys, they're German. And they came up with the idea. They said they were at Oktoberfest in Germany, and they had some friends coming into town, and they were at this festival and realized there was no way they could get across town and give them a key to their place. And so they started brainstorming and coming and thinking about, well, you know, how could we get our friends a key, and we don't have to, you know, if we can't get to them the inconvenience of them coming to us. So they came up with this idea of Kisi, which works similar to the other ones. It has a passcode. And what they're targeting urbanites, and they're targeting the front door of large apartment buildings.
Mm-hmm.
So they would put the Kisi technology, which works. The nice thing about Kisi is that you don't have to replace the lock. It overrides the existing intercom or lock system. And so once the main door is equipped with Kisi and everybody in that apartment building can access the main door, then they hope to move into each individual apartment.
Yeah, so, a few years ago, I used to live in New York and I got my backpack stolen with my keys. Everybody in the entire apartment building had to get new keys. And so I imagine that you say that this is urban, but I would say even a market among landlords, building managers, that kind of thing.
Exactly. That is who they're targeting right now. The other ones that I talk about and write about in the piece, the Kivo from Kwikset, they're targeting homeowners. Right now, Kisi is going after landlords and big property managers or, someone who owns a townhouse or a brownstone and has a couple of tenants. But eventually they'll get into the market, I think, of going after the apartment dwellers themselves.
Now, would people still use a mechanical key, or would this be entirely digital?
You know, the people I talk to, so far, in almost every case, there's still the mechanical lock. You know, if your cell phone battery dies, or if there's a Wi-Fi outage or something like that, you still have the key. I mean, to me, it defeats the purpose a little bit. The idea is that you have this sort of magical way to get into your place now. The point is you don't want to carry around the key anymore. But in many of these instances, the lock is still there. A strong deadbolt. I talked to a locksmith who uses this himself. He uses the Schlage, the touchscreen deadbolt, but he has a backup deadbolt as well.
Well, you just brought up some vulnerabilities. What if your smartphone gets stolen? What if your battery dies? Or, as happened to many people after Superstorm Sandy, there's no Wi-Fi signal, no power.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, I think I've been doing a few of these kinds of stories for the home section about, the Internet of Things and home automation. And for a lot of people, the key is maybe a minor hassle, but at the same time, you know, it's no instruction manuals necessary. You're never going to be a concern about a power outage. When I asked the guys from Keezy what to do in the case of their cell phone battery dying, they suggested, going to a nearby Starbucks and recharging it, which didn't seem like, the best option. That, to me, is not much different than the pain of losing your key.
Mm. Stephen Kurtz is with us from the New York Times home section. We're talking about the emerging market of digital house keys. Keys are so symbolic and laden with metaphor, and you write about some of these meanings in our culture. What might we lose, Stephen, in a keyless world?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, there are a lot, like you said, from phraseology, the idea of the latchkey kid. We're back in the 70s, the key party, the ritual of a mayor presenting the key to the city. When I started reporting, I thought I would talk to a lot of people, or at least some people, who had a kind of fondness for the key. I mean, this is a technology that goes back to the Egyptians and even before then. But when I talked to people, it didn't seem like they had much affection for the key. A lot of people find the key to be a pain, and then the more complicated your life gets, you've got a key for your bike lock, a key for your house, a key for your car. So I talked to one guy, this guy Don Norman, who's academic and writes a lot about design. And I talked specifically about that ritual, when you're in a new relationship of giving the key to your romantic partner. And it's a big moment, I think, for a lot of people. And he said that for him, he felt that the emotion in that act comes from the exchange. The emotion does not come from the actual physical key. So in the future, you may give them a passcode, and it may still contain the meeting, just without the physical object.
And, of course, you don't have to get it back if things go sour.
That's right. That's right.
Well, Stephen Kurtz, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Stephen Kurtz is home reporter for The New York Times. You'll find a link to his article, Losing the Key, and a slideshow of some really gorgeous keys from around the world at our website, wordofmouthradio.org.